everyone. It's Amber Love, and welcome to a new episode of Vodka O'Clock from AmberOnMass.com. So this episode, just like all the rest, are supported by the wonderful people at Patreon, who are my backers and donors. You just go to patreon.com/AmberUnmasked. And you also get weekly cat stories before anyone else. So if you love ridiculous, super silly cat stories and cryptids and monsters and things, you will want to check that out. So joining me today, I get to combine my two passion life projects, which is yoga and comics. So Nicole here is here today. So welcome, Nicole.
Hi, Amber. Thanks for having me.
So I noticed you immediately. I think through Instagram, somebody else had posted your Wonder Woman painting of Wonder Woman doing Peaceful Warrior. And it took like tracking down to find who you were.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, the craziness of people sharing on the internet.
Yes.
So it seems like everything was just so well received when you posted it that you're like, what can I do with this? So I'm glad to talk to you about what you're expanding and looking into with these specifically superheroine paintings.
Yeah. So she's probably my most famous painting. I posted her online and she got away from me real quick. I had a lot of reshares of her. I had some people steal her, use her for her for their businesses. I had somebody steal her and all of my yoga work and put it on apparel. So I had to get an attorney to get that stopped. I had Vogue Paris picked it up. They ran a story on it on their website. And then Vogue Germany followed and ran a story. And the thing about that painting is I was pregnant at the time and I wanted something to hang above my daughter's crib that she could look at that was empowering, but very positive. And the Wonder Woman movie had come out and I love art first and foremost, but my second love is yoga. And I thought, you know what? I think Wonder Woman getting one of these warrior princesses in a warrior pose would be something beautiful for my daughter to grow up looking at. And so I painted it for her. I didn't have any intentions of selling it. I didn't have any intentions of showing it. Posted it online. The next day I sold it.
Oh my goodness.
I sold it for as much as it cost for me to furnish the baby room. So that's kind of like, okay, I'll sell it, but it's got to pay for the baby furniture and everything that I need to get this baby home comfortably. So that's what I did. And I actually haven't had a chance to paint another one for her. She's got some ballerinas hanging above her bed right now because I've painted a few more and they go just as quickly. But I've started showing them now.
That's wild.
So it was my painting of love and it came from the heart. And I think people could see that.
Like I said, it was because, you know, Wonder Woman is a warrior and there are several yoga postures named with the word warrior in it. With after the soldier, if I pronounce it right, because it's Virabhadrasana is the pose,
yeah.
So it's Virabhadrab is the warrior's name. And it's like of all of the ones, you specifically picked the peaceful warrior. And I'm like, that is it. I'm like, she totally gets Wonder Woman, where it's like, you know, you're battle ready. You do what you got to do, but let's try to not do this, or let's honor those who have fallen after it's happened. Something specific that just feels so Wonder Woman, so Diana.
Yeah, and that's what I want that's how I want my daughter to live her life. I don't want her to be angry or have any angst. I just want her to be peaceful and, you know, be a Wonder Woman and be a warrior and press on.
And so let's get to some of the unfortunate nonsense, though. This, you know, obviously I follow a lot of comic book artists on Twitter and everywhere else. And so it's not the first time I've come across somebody having their stuff swiped and stolen and put up on t-shirt companies and all of these things. So some of them are notorious, but if like you had to get an attorney at that point, you couldn't just like their support team of whatever the platform apparel didn't just take them down.
Well, I got lucky. The person fought me pretty hard. I think they were located outside of the US, but the company manufacturing the shirts for them were located in California. So they had to abide by the US laws. So once they received my cease and desist, they stopped that immediately.
Okay, because I've seen things like end up at major companies and people are like, you can tell this was either traced over my work or somehow they just took it and made a, you know, a color change or something. And it's, you know, and when it goes down the corporate line, it's like, oh, well, we hire graphic artists and we just make the assumption that they've created it because, you know, they've been hired or they whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just,
you know, I've had a few of those and I've just gone to that person and said, hey, it's my art. Just credit me. You credit me and you're not making a boatload of money off of it, then you can use it. I've also had a lot of, I guess I would say, artist followers that have come out and done the same thing, but they're doing it in their style. And I actually enjoy that and appreciate that.
That's very inspirational. It, you know, that's great when, you know, there's actually like the hashtag of draw in my style or something.
Yeah. And I, you know, I love that they're doing it in their style and that I inspired that. I'm an artist myself and I've had so many different stages of my artistic life where this artist has inspired that and that artist has inspired that. So now to be at a phase in my life where I'm inspiring other artists, I see these cartoonish Wonder Womans in their yoga poses or even different characters. And just to know that I'm the one that sparked that and set that off and that they're doing that in their own style. I love seeing that.
And so besides Wonder Woman, you have Captain Marvel, which in her current incarnation, I will say is new-ish, even though she's really not. She goes way back to nearly as old as Wonder Woman.
Yes.
But this new version of her is different. And, you know, from the comics and the movies and everything. So I think it was Jamie McKelvey who designed the outfit and like it was everywhere. Like the ski team, the actual US ski team had the outfit on.
Yeah.
That's what they wore. It was amazing. So you know, so was that another movie that you ran to see when it came out?
No, I didn't actually.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, with kids at home, I can't even imagine that, having, you know, the opportunity to leave.
That's exactly it.
I mean, my cat is crying right now because I've closed the door and he's locked in here with me and he's just like yelling at me. And I was like, I can't imagine if you were a real teenager, what we would be going through right now.
I have a 7-month-old puppy on top of it. So I have 2 toddlers.
Yeah, basically.
So it's hard to get out. I haven't, if it doesn't come out on Netflix, you know, I've been able to watch a few on Amazon Prime when they come out, but yeah, it's just, it's hard. And then, you know, not long after she goes to bed, I'm pretty wiped out myself. So I'm in bed pretty early.
Okay. Do you get to watch the new Supergirl show? Because it's actually a really good show.
I haven't caught that yet either.
What's amazing about it is even though it's, you know, it's superhero-y and there's monsters and stuff.
Yeah.
They put so much heart into the main characters and everything that you really get sucked in where it's just a soap opera where people can fly.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's what's really cool about that show. It's like, I'm always thinking whenever, cause we never watch stuff like when it airs. Cause it depends on when I actually get to see my boyfriend. So, So sometimes we, you know, we stack stuff up and then we get a marathon of it. And, you know, when Supergirl started, I was just like, oh, I don't care. Just put it on. And the next week I would be the same way. I'd be like, oh, I don't care. Just put it on. And I would be tweeting through the whole thing going, oh my God, this is so amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I did her in Pigeon Pose. I don't know. For some reason, Supergirl to me seems like she'd be really flexible.
Oh, totally. Yeah. She can do anything.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's definitely. And you had Captain Marvel in this very, like, you know, seated lotus type meditation posture, the Sukhasana or lotus. And that just felt right for her because she's so powerful, like extraordinarily powerful that, and plus she's actually alien. So like the way that you had the design go, it's like, oh, she feels really cosmic here.
Yes.
She's really reaching out in some other place right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I loved about that. So whenever you get the chance to see the movie, I know you're going
to. I'll have to stay up late one night.
Cause I don't even know if it's out. Like you'd think by now, but time kind of has its own thing. Yeah. Like I don't even know what day it is most of the time, and my schedule's different every day.
Yeah.
So I started driving to the wrong studio. So I'm like, oh my God, what am I doing? So whenever Captain Marvel comes out, though, to give that a shot, because I was really impressed.
Yeah, you know, my husband, he keeps up with all of the comics, and he'll stay up a little bit later, he'll read, and he's the one who told me, he's like, man, Captain Marvel, if you put her in meditation, it's just going to nail her personality. She's perfect for that.
That's great. Yeah, good job. does he go to the comic shop like every week, that kind of shopping?
Well, or is he's it just got a whenever? Subscription on his iPad.
Yeah. Like Comixology or something. Yeah. Yeah, those are so convenient.
Yes.
That's I've mostly been reading digitally for a couple of years now because once I got a little bit farther from my comic shop, it just seemed like I really had to go out of my way to get down there. So I'm actually stopping by there tomorrow, though, Saturday. So, I mean, I miss it. I miss going down.
They're
all the
a
time,
fun place but... for me to go just because it's almost for me like walking into an art gallery, but there's a zillion more paintings in there.
Exactly. I mean, and that's what's so hard. And it's a real struggle in the business to make comics affordable when you're asking somebody to draw like six different images per page. And it's like 22, 23 pages. And so you're having like little masterpieces all through the whole thing.
Yes.
Plus then you have to, you know, your coloring artist might be different and your lettering artist is probably somebody else. So,
yeah, I've actually been asked multiple times to do that, but if I would do it for free. And it is something I would like to explore one day, but I think at this moment I'm just too busy to take on a passion project, I guess I would say. Maybe later. Maybe when my daughter's a little bit older.
Well, and that's how a lot of people end up starting is they, you know, or they do it basically on spec. They'll work on, you know, a certain number of pages, then somebody runs a Kickstarter, and then the Kickstarter funds go usually to the artists.
Yes.
So it's hard, it's grueling. I know tons of people who have done their comics through Kickstarter, and it's a very tense thing to watch because if you start getting down to that deadline and it's like, oh no, we have like $1,000 left to go. What are we going to do? We have $1,000, like, you know, who's going to sweep in? Who can possibly, you know, help us out here? And it's like, you know, when you're one of the people like me where it's like, I can chip in like $5, you know, I'll just keep sharing it.
Yeah. Yeah. I've actually been getting a lot of that. Or a lot of, after my next paycheck, I can contribute.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's tough. So, you know, one of the people who had asked me to draw comics for his comic line was Marilyn Manson's former bassist, Hope. But he couldn't raise, I don't know if, I don't think it ever got off the ground. I really don't know what happened.
That's so weird. That was like, somebody like that couldn't raise money.
Yeah, like I'm really interested, but I can't do it for free. It's a lot of work on my end. I mean, these paintings take hours. I mean, sometimes just thinking about what to do, the conceptualization of the painting takes even more time than the painting. And then, you know, I've just finished this painting, two paintings. The first one I did was Kim Kardashian dressed up as Queen Elizabeth. And that painting took me months. And then for my second Queen painting, I did Taylor Swift dressed as Queen Elizabeth, like from the 17th century. And that painting took me half the time, but I think I learned so much from the Kim K painting that I was able to get the Taylor painting out faster. But, you know, in the beginning for me to take on some comic book artwork, it may take me a few months, you know, just to get the conceptualization down and how do I want to paint this? Do I want to do layers? Which brushes do I want to use? All of that goes into it. What is the style? For these paintings, it was 17th century style. So, you know, it's much more hyper-realism, which is, I think, what he was wanting to do. So that takes a bit longer. So I guess it would all depend.
Yeah, I'm sure. And most of the artists that would listen to this show would wholeheartedly agree with you. I get lucky sometimes where I have a friend who can, you know, takes pity on me and my bank account, and I'll be like, Tom, can you do another book cover for me? And he'll be like, oh yeah, what's your friend's discount again?
Well, you know, a book cover is not bad. That I would do. I'll do a book cover.
Yeah, because it's one image. It's one image and I do all the lettering.
It's one image and it's on the front. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hit me up if you want a book cover.
Yeah, good, good. It's just remarkable how the comics world of art is different than the non-comics world of art.
Yeah, and I'm kind of like balancing in both of them right now, and then throw in the yoga world too.
Yes,
it's fun.
It's fun. There's an assumption that everybody who does yoga has lots of money, and it's, you know, it's commercialized to look that way, and it's not true, obviously.
Yeah, it depends on where you go. You can go to, you know, a high-end like studio, and that's where you're going to see the wealthier clientele. But you can go to a gym, you know. So gyms are affordable. I actually taught yoga at Blue Cross Blue Shield for their employees after their lunch break. So there are corporate companies who
They do.
Yeah, it's free for their employees. And I've taught at a gym too. That's where I got my start teaching yoga. I think I would like to get back into teaching yoga again. I had to stop when I got pregnant. And I'm just now trying to get myself back into shape. So I'm hitting the studios again. Yesterday I did hot yoga class for an hour and I was on fire. It totally just wiped me. But it was good.
Okay. I was like, yeah, I'm too sensitive to the heat that I've been putting off even remotely trying it. Like, right now I'm like,
for air. I'm somebody who actually loves just doing yoga at the gym with the air conditioning on.
Yes, me too. I'm like, you know, I like our studio nice and chilly. The gym is usually nice and cold. Because I teach at a gym, I teach at one of those higher end studios where the class that I actually teach is a community class. So it's only
$5. Oh, awesome.
If people would come. So you don't have to have your $100 membership. Yeah. It's only $5 awesome. For that class. But I also teach in an art museum. I teach yoga in the museum.
Oh, that's cool.
And it is so wild. It's this tiny little place, this hole in the wall in Clinton, New Jersey. But it's this beautiful historic building, which is just a gorgeous old building. And it's right on the river. So usually before class, I get to watch and do some bird watching out the window and see what, you know, if there's a heron or I got to see cormorants last week. And, you know, then like every 3 months, the art that's around us changes.
That's so zen. So
it is
that's right up my alley.
It is totally awesome. And the building, like I said, it's so old and warm because, I mean, you have to be a little careful of the floor because nails could be popping up.
Yeah.
But it's like these giant wood planks
that
are just old and battered and awesome. And I love it. I'm like, I can't believe I get to be in a museum around art and do this.
That's cool.
It's like, it's the best.
Yeah. That's cool.
But yeah, I mean, all the places I teach are really completely different from each other.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it was the same with me, teaching corporate versus teaching gym, or, you know, going into the studio. The studios, those people take it real seriously. The corporate people are just so thankful that they're not at their desk.
I was going to say, they're just away. That's all that matters.
And then my gym people, that's social hour. So
yeah.
Yeah. But it's fun seeing all that. My morning classes, I'm like, okay, guys, you've got to stop talking. Let's keep going.
I know.
My evening classes, it's like, all right, like you can hear a pin drop. There's no sound.
That's all right, so true.
Let's get going.
Yeah, absolutely true. Because if I teach at night, there's such a different energy, and I just give them a choice. I'm like, okay, have you guys been like standing on your feet all day, sitting on your butt all day? Do you want to relax, or are you looking to make some energy?
Yeah.
And so far, every evening class has been like, we just want to relax.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you got
it. Yeah, exactly. Same for me.
Yeah, as long as we can get some blood circulation going, you're good.
Yeah, and you know, I live in Texas, so when it's 102 degrees outside, and then going to a hot yoga class,
that is a hot yoga
class. Yeah, I know, right? We can just go outside and do it. I love a good hot yoga class, though, in February. That's nice, but yeah.
Oh, I bet.
So that kind of depends too. During summertime, I definitely hit up the yoga classes at the gym. January, February, I love going to a hot yoga class.
That makes sense though, because you know that the gym's going to be cold and you know that the studio will be hot.
Yeah.
I want to be like those, since I do go outside every single day. And I've taken some pictures like on the trail, but I'm not comfortable enough outside where I can throw down a mat and like do yoga in the backyard, because I have to have my shoes and my jeans and I have to be covered and I don't want the bugs touching me.
Yeah.
So I'm not quite out there in nature, but I usually take that time to at least enjoy the nature. Like I took some beautiful sunrise pictures this morning. You know, so watch the birds, that kind of thing.
Oh yeah. I'm outdoorsy myself. I've always been. I love being outside. We actually just purchased, well, we've been in the home for a year now. We moved from Columbia, South Carolina to Dallas, Texas last year. I'm actually a Texan. I grew up near San Antonio, lived in Austin for a while, but we were in South Carolina for 5 years for my husband's career. And it's so beautiful there. Nature is just really in your face in South Carolina. It's the trees are big, it's lush, you've got all four seasons. So coming back to Dallas, it's, you know, they call it the concrete jungle. And it's an adjustment. So we were fortunate enough to find a house that overlooks a golf course and a pond. And it's not as large as of a house that we could have afforded in our price range, but we just like to be outside. And, you know, my daughter's turning out to be the same way. She just wants to be outside. So it's just, we just love sitting outside. We like being outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it's safe. Yeah.
Yeah.
When it's okay. Because up here in New Jersey, even though I'm it's not industrial where I am. We still have a lot of traffic,
yeah,
like, you know, trucks and stuff. So it's very different, though, that we still have a sense of fresh air.
Yes.
And then when I travel east, and it's like, oh my God, how do you people breathe this every day? And that's where I was from East Jersey.
Yeah.
And I, you know, and I hated it out here, you know, when we moved. And now I'm just like, oh, you know, I have the awareness of the difference in the air.
Yes.
And it's unbelievable how you become aware of different types of things. Like, you know, oh my God, the bugs are so loud at night.
Yes.
It's like, they are just so loud. I have to turn my TV up. I can't hear it. You know, so strange stuff like that happens. But, you know, I read a book on the forest bathing that, you know, has been in Japan forever. And I'm not going to try to pronounce the Japanese because I would butcher it and be offensive. But it's just so funny how it takes Americans so long to catch up onto something.
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden, like, hygge was a big thing, and, you know, like, and that just means like comfort or whatever, that warm, cozy feeling. And I think that's from Denmark or Sweden or something.
Okay.
I don't know. But so forest bathing was like, you know, how important it is for when you live in these gigantic cities, you need to go and essentially just absorb the nature that's around you. So you just get into a park and just literally feel it. And if you watch animals, like if you take your puppy,
yeah,
you watch them do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's, you know, it's remarkable. So we can learn a lot from our pets.
Yeah. I agree with that, but I would say it's a flip side too. Cause I grew up on acreage in South Texas, but you know, it's good to get into a big city and take that in, the busyness of it.
Oh yeah. Get the experience.
Yeah. All the, you know, things you've never seen before that the big cities have. That's actually what I love about being here in Dallas. Everything is at my fingertips.
It's that kind of place.
Yeah.
There's theater and museums and everything.
Everything you can think of. You know, Jeremy Scott just had a retrospective here that I was able to go see. You know, Dallas Contemporary was the one who landed that, who got him to come here. And, you know, it's like a 25-minute drive, and I'm seeing all of this celebrity wear and this really cool fashion. So that's nice. South Carolina definitely didn't have any of that. But South Carolina had all the nature, but Dallas is just, it's Southern, but it's a very forward-thinking place.
Okay. I've never gone down there. I mean, I've gone to like Southeast.
Yeah.
You know, Florida.
Uh-huh.
Like every East Coaster.
Yeah.
Does. We go up and down the East Coast, you know?
Yeah.
But it's, we're approaching Halloween. So, it makes me curious as to if Halloween is any different there.
I don't think so.
Because you don't really have fall, but.
It goes straight from summer to winter. Today's a winter day here in Dallas. By winter day, I mean today's high is 66 degrees.
It's about what it is here too.
Okay.
So for us, this is like, you know, we're wearing sweaters.
So for us, we don't know if we're going to have a summer Halloween or a winter Halloween.
Yeah, you never know,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And you could be like, you know, your poor kid is like bundled up
yeah.
in like the giant parka
yes.
and you can't see the costume at all.
Yeah.
And they're just miserable.
Yes.
or it could be like, oh, this is too hot.
Yep, exactly. So my daughter's going to be a unicorn and
nice.
She's got a little dress, but I don't know yet if she'll be wearing some tights and a little shawl or if just the little dress will be enough.
Well, that's cool. That could be adorable. You could do a lot with that
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get, you know, like leg warmers and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm a big Lisa Frank fan, so.
I've been getting, actually, I've been getting a lot of yogis telling me that they're going to be Wonder Woman for Halloween.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. That's so awesome. And, you know, and it's funny because, you know, like you're saying, like certain, you see these characters and the way that they're drawn and then the way that they expect the actors, and I should say the CGI artists, make them perform, yeah, is, you know, there's so many that have to be flexible in martial art experts, yeah, and everything else.
Yeah.
And I saw your Spider-Man too. Now, is this Spider-Man or Spider-Girl? This is
Spider-Man. I've got him doing ballet and I've got him folding laundry. So which one did you see?
Yeah. So I see him in tree pose, but I do see ballet slippers.
Right. I forgot I did him in tree pose.
So when I was starting out in aerial, with aerial yoga, and aerial yoga is 100% yoga because you still have to get
Spider-Man
the posture.
Is so aerial yoga. And I thought Spider-Man about putting him in, like hanging from one of the ribbons. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's what I did. So like I even just took some selfies one time and set the timer and I was like, okay, guys, this was like my superhero series where, you know, upside down, where it looks like the silks are coming from between my feet, you know, like behind me and stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, this is my Spider-Man. I'm like, and then this one could be your X-Men and then, you know, like Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
So it's like I could do a whole total show, you know, session and name them all after superheroes, yeah, and villains and stuff. Got to include the villains because we all have that side of us too.
Yes.
We're not perfect. And then you get villains like Harley Quinn who can do anything, you know.
Yeah.
there's so much Harley Quinn out there. So I love that Spider-Man is included in your series, because that's every time I'm up on the aerials, I'm like,
he has.
That's what I feel like.
Spider-Man has such a dancer's body too.
Yeah,
he's fun.
He does. I love watching ballet.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun. I like him.
As
an artist,
funny,
and a yogi, and I can put him in a lot of feminine roles.
Yeah,
that are supposed to be feminine. I like to play with that. I don't know if you've seen my Batman vacuuming, but I like to take these hyper masculine,
mm-hmm,
beings.
It's awesome because, like, you know, well, Batman is rich enough that he does have a butler, but, you know, they, not all of them are. Superman would do his own shit.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah
Batman vacuuming.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Like, you know, they're still the daily care. They still need laundry done and the dishes done and to be vacuumed, and they need to bathe. I haven't done any of them bathing, but just that everyday, day-to-day things that we all do that we don't think about. And I'm like, you know, I want to do a series about all of us need that.
Well, it's interesting because there was a photographer who got regular, ordinary, non-model people. And I don't know if all of them were immigrants or what it was, but it was just, you know, regular non-models. And he had them dressed up as the superheroes doing their regular job, though.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, the guy loading up the truck dressed as the Hulk or something,
yeah,
you know,
cool,
and body painted. And it was really wild. This was like, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. It was so wild. And same thing. It just like, it went viral because people were relating to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will say your stormtrooper moving in this way, though, knowing the storm, how many stormtroopers I know, because this is part of the life when you start costuming. They can barely move. And it's so funny how, like, in the movies, like, you can see them do every, you know, all this stuff. And it's like, oh, yeah. But if you see the guys in the costumes for real,
that's,
it's
hilarious.
Like, I'm like, they can't sit down. They can't bend.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, so it depends. And that'll decide for most of them, like, what they wear that day.
Yeah.
It'll be like, oh, if I'm dressed as a pilot, I know I can, like, go to the bathroom or something.
How funny. It just seems like a girl sometimes, you know? When I get dressed up, I'm like, okay, how much am I going to drink or eat?
like pantyhose and Spanx and all
that.
Yeah,
everything that has to come down.
It's just like, nope, I'm just not going to drink any water and dehydrate.
Right?
I'll make up for it tomorrow.
Yes, exactly.
It's so funny though, but yeah, I love Stormtrooper in a dancer's pose is like, it's funny because, you know, they have the amusement parks are owned by some of the same companies. So they actually have shows, and I don't know if they make any adjustments to the costumes to allow better movement. I know that with Batman, they went through that several times with every different movie, like, because he couldn't turn his head. But there are guys that have to do a certain amount of performing in these outfits.
Yes.
And it's, you know, it's pretty wild. It's like, you know, when you do see a dancing stormtrooper.
Yeah. I actually went to a couple of years ago with my husband. We went to, I think it's for children, but he had gotten the tickets free through his work. I think it was like a Marvel live show that travels.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're right. They really have to be able to move. And of course, yeah. Spider-Man is the one who did the most tricks, which makes complete sense.
Sure. And yeah, and I feel for those performers, man. Because, you know, at some point, they don't have it, like, you know, a safety net under them or something. They probably are locked up onto a harness. But, you know, people expect Cirque du Soleil all the time.
Yes,
and it's like, you know,
that's,
it's like
demanding. I know what it's like just to go to a hot yoga class.
I just finished aerial training and I'm like, and now I'm supposedly ready to teach this. And I'm like, well, I can certainly teach some of it. I'm like, but I actually got stuck up there.
Yeah.
and it's like, I couldn't get my foot out.
Yeah.
And that's like, you know, it's such a ridiculous, stupid thing and hilarious when, as long as you're not alone. That was the one thing.
Yeah, right.
It's like swimming. Everybody's like, don't do aerials alone.
Right. That's wild.
It is. So it's grown this whole yoga world and comics world, because people used to make fun of you if you liked comics.
I know. And now it's so popular.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, when they originally started, it was, you know, a thriving thing. And then it became like the outcast thing. And now it's thriving commercially. The books, not so much, but the marketing and, you know, like if you get to do something that's besides a comic book, like if you get to have something on the t-shirt or the yogurt container or I mean, because they slap those properties on everything.
Yes, they do. And I'm telling you, as a mother, she's two right now, but it's, she won't wear socks unless there's a puppy dog on the socks. Mm-hmm. So I know as we get older, it'll have to be Elsa or somebody else, but that, yes, that's they know what they're doing, those companies, for sure.
Right.
Because I'm going to have to buy all of that, or she's just not going to, she's not going to have anything.
Yeah. And I think it was like, Star Wars apples or bottles of water or something. And it wasn't even like, you know, it's not like there's a sticker on the apple. It's just the plastic bag around the apples.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it was more fun when it was something fast food and you got a toy, you know, but like if you're buying something just for the picture that's on the package, it's like, damn.
Yeah. But then if you're shopping with your child and then you're just going to buy that because otherwise they're going to have a fit in the store.
In the store.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like me. I'm on Amazon last night looking for more puppy dog socks. We lost a pair already.
And they'll show up in the dryer 3 years from
right.
now. That's so awesome.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the Kickstarter a little bit, because I've never run one myself. And I know you only have a few days to go. So you did a pretty short time span.
I did a short time span. So my Kickstarter, I've had just over the last few years, I've had several hundred people DM me and ask me, that they've asked me, hey, we can't afford an original painting. Can you put it on a shirt? Or can I get a print? So I'd kind of been thinking about putting them on a shirt, but not serious about it. And then I started getting asked from the yoga studios. And so when the yoga studios started asking me, you know, I'm showing my husband my DMs on Instagram, and he's like, you know, maybe we should give this a try. So I had, you know, the eighth yoga studio who was like, hey, we want to carry some of your stuff. You know, can you do prints or postcards or, and I've said, well, would you be open to like some yoga wear, or some yoga gear? I've made prints in the past. I might do it again because I have a new market. This is when I was, just working as, you know, just an artist, and I hadn't done the superheroes or the yoga stuff yet. So I now have, I feel like, a new audience and a new market. So I'm not going to be completely closed off to doing prints. But when I was doing it before, every time I had made prints, it took a lot longer for the original piece of work to sell. So that was kind of frustrating. So I stopped doing prints. So anyways, I kind of contacted the yoga studios and said, would you be open to me doing some yoga wear? So I just got these cheap, you know, they all said yes. So I just got these cheap little tops and had this company down the street just do like some DTG printing onto them. And I posted them on Instagram just to see if anybody would be interested in it. And I got a large response. So I was hoping to roll them out and release them. I really was hoping by March. And finding an honest manufacturer, number one, number two, a manufacturer that did decent work where the stitching wasn't all wrong, the patterns weren't off, the material was what I was promised. I had to go through five manufacturers. So it's been a long road to get to the product that I've made now. This manufacturer, they do some other well-known athleisure lines. Okay. And they also make a lot of jewelry. They do some well-known jewelry too. And I had a personal introduction to them through one of my husband's friends. So that kind of has to happen, I have found out. It's very hard. That side of the business is very secretive. And that's because there are legal documents involved. I actually made that manufacturer signed something that they wouldn't just broadcast that they make stuff for me. I think it helps curb competition, but it was to the point where if I wouldn't have had that personal introduction to this manufacturer, I wouldn't have even tried the shirts and said, hey man, I'm sorry guys. And I had been trying to print on yoga blocks myself. I'd been trying to figure it out. I have so many supplies. How can I get these printed on yoga blocks? Well, this manufacturer has this special new machine that can do it. So now I've been able to introduce a yoga block along with the shirts. So I put it up on Kickstarter just to kind of see how it would do. I'm not necessarily like, I guess it would be nice to have like the Kickstarter community backers, but I was kind of trying to look and see what my own social media would bring to it. I've got a funding price of $10,000. It's going to take $28,000 to bring them to market.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm going to be going and talking to the yoga studios next week, see if I can get some orders from them. I'm going to be doing a yoga event at the Arlington Yoga Center December 1st in the Dallas area. And kind of see what I get from there. If the Kickstarter funds, they'll be ready for Christmas. If the Kickstarter doesn't fund, it's going to delay the timeline, which is okay. I'm going to go to the yoga studios and I might do a trade show or two and get some orders before I decide to put my family in debt to get them
right,
out.
Right, because that's a lot of money.
It's the minimum order quantities. The material is, so all my stuff has to be sublimated. I could do the DTG, the direct to garment printing on cotton. You're probably going to get 5 to 7 washes out of it, and that's it. So I wanted something that was more in the collectible range. I still look at it from an art gallery perspective. I want something that's going to last. You can wear it if you want to, or you can keep it. So I've created a tag, and it's my handwriting. It's got my signature on it. And then each tag has a number. So everything's going to be limited run. My manufacturer originally told me, because these tags, the tags are expensive themselves to create because everything has a number. So he originally told me he would do 300, which is my minimum order quantity, which is why it's going to take me so much money to get this out to market. But now he's saying he'll do 500 of those tags. So your tag will say 1 of 500, 2 of 500, 3 of 500, and so on. So you're actually going to have your own number. And once those are gone, they're gone. So I've got a lot of other paintings in mind that I haven't painted out yet that would be great for the yoga line. But right now my focus is to kind of get this out and see if I can get it out to market. I was hurt by the person who stole my art and basically beat me putting it out to market. Their stuff was t-shirts, though. It's direct to garment printing. It's going to last you just a few washes. I think a lot of people that bought that didn't end up getting their product because of my cease and desist and having to deal with my lawyer. So I think a lot of people did lose money in that. But I am noticing that that hurt my getting this out to market. I think that people have already bought it. Yeah. Yeah. But you know, there are lots of yogis out there. when I walked into the yoga studio yesterday morning, I mean, I just heard this woman gasp and, "Oh my God, I love your shirt." And I was wearing my Wonder Woman shirt and I had my matching Wonder Woman yoga block. "Oh my God, where did you get that? Where did you get that?" So I'm getting a lot of that as I wear them around. I wore Captain Marvel to the mall with some jeans and I had people stopping me, "Where did you get your shirt?" So I know there's a demand. So I just have to figure out the right way to get it out.
Yeah. I mean, because if you look at people who, you know, started the same way, like Ashley Eckstein or I'm not sure if it's Eckstein. Eckstein, I think, from Her Universe. You know, like she's started designing, you know, nerd stuff for girls because she couldn't find any herself. So,
yeah.
And then her company got really big. So there's definitely a market.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, these designs, the fabric looks really impressive.
Yeah, it is. And it feels really cool to the touch. So, you know, I was drenched in it yesterday, but the material still felt cool to the touch, even though I was soaking wet with sweat and I was so hot, I was gasping for air. I was impressed with it. These shirts cost a lot to make, but that's what I want to bring to market. I feel like that's what yoga studios expect these days.
Yeah, they do. They're very
picky. Yeah.
Okay, so if we've got about a week to go on this Kickstarter. So if you guys look it up, you would just look up Nicole Heer Art. And Heer is H-E-E-R-E Art. So if, like you said, if it doesn't make it, you're not totally abandoning the project. You're just going to rework things.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And then
the timeline will be pushed further out. I'll have to do some trade shows and I'd have to gather more than 8 yoga studios.
Okay. And then maybe, you know, who knows, maybe Comic-Cons will be in your future.
They might. That would be cool.
They certainly do well out here, so I'm sure that they're...
I think they do well everywhere. They do well in the South, I can tell you that.
That's good. Okay, well, let's... you're pretty easy to find once people understand how to spell your name. So, yes. So Instagram, like I said, is where I found you. Nicole Heer Art, and then that's what you would also look up on Kickstarter.
Yes.
Is there anything else that's like really, you know, one of your everyday kind of places?
I'm mostly an Instagrammer. I've got a Twitter account. I don't keep up with it as much, but Instagram's my favorite platform. I also enjoy scrolling Instagram myself. So I'm just on Instagram.
That's like my therapy. I look up cat pictures and...
I love my Instagram. I follow artists. I follow ballerinas. I follow some fashion people. And I just like seeing what everybody's putting out.
Yeah. I love the witchy feeds too. I love fellow witches. They're, you know, they always make everything look so nice. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, you know, there's cat hair all over my stuff. Like, here's my picture.
Yeah, I follow a lot of interior designers too. And some of the interior designers I follow have like a very like cool, dark vibe. And I'm like, oh, that looks so cool.
That's neat.
Yeah.
Awesome. So thank your husband again for, you know, his contribution.
Yes.
And your daughter for her inspiration.
Yeah, I know, right? Who would have thought? I was 7 months pregnant with her when I painted that. Yeah, I was in her baby room together. That's all I was doing. I had no other intentions.
That's just an amazing delight.
Didn't expect it to get picked up by Vogue. I mean, my goodness.
It's so just loving and sweet and adorable. And that's just so perfectly yoga.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is I've showed it to some art dealers and some of my art dealers. And they're like, yeah, you can do Wonder Woman well. I'm like, do you know what she's doing? And they're like, no. I'm like, she's doing yoga.
Yes. Catch on here.
Like, come on, guys.
But it does bring up, you know, talking about how you did manage to fund the nursery by selling the original painting.
Yeah.
That is part of the yoga also, where we have to practice aparigraha, non-greediness and letting go, and non-attachment, one of the kleshas.
Yes.
You know, it's attachment is a huge, huge part of suffering. So... so I'm sure it hurt, but like you said, there was a reward for it.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Yes. Yeah. It's one of those things where, and I love the woman who has it. She has another painting of mine that actually was special to me. And she ended up buying that one before she bought the Wonder Woman. So I love the person that it went to, and that helps.
It does help, I'm sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And her husband bought it for her as a gift, so she didn't even know it was coming. Yeah.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
Art does make a wonderful gift. P.S.
Yes.
I know. I got a comic book artist to draw my cat, and so Sean Mandrake, who does incredibly marvelous cat comics. I was like, when I met her, I was I was so excited because Joe met her first, and he's like, "Oh, this is the artist I wanted you to see." And like, her table was awesome. She has this cat that's like, in those old like fortune teller machines.
Yeah,
she actually has like a cat that she built in one of these like machine things.
That is so cute.
And so I was just like, I need you to draw Gus because my Gus looks just like her pinky. So
that is so cute.
Yeah.
Oh,
art is awesome.
My daughter loves Mau Maus. That's what she calls them. Mau Maus. Yeah.
I would love to get cat yoga off the ground over here. We've tried a few times, but we don't really have shelters here. So, like, all the cats are in foster homes.
Oh, and it's my God. That is like, hilarious.
Wow. There's goat yoga near. It's like, come on.
Cat yoga. Yeah. My dog, she does a proper down dog.
That's good.
Yeah. And, you know, my daughter does a great happy baby.
Aw. I love that. I love teaching that to adults. I'm like, this is happy baby. And they're like, what?
I'm like, now I know why they call this happy baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because and you have to be so open to get there. You have to just let that happen. So if you have something you're like fighting with and it's affecting your body at the same time, you're not going to be in happy baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
You might be in child's pose instead, curled up in a ball.
Well, now I know happy baby is happy baby. Yes. And child's pose is child's pose because we're in terrible twos right now. And that's the pose she goes into when she pouts.
Yeah, totally. I have, you know, full grown cried in child's pose during yoga classes because I'm like, don't look at me. I'm just crying over here.
Right? Yeah. Well, when I first started yoga teaching, I was very nervous. So I used to always start them in child pose so they wouldn't be looking at me.
That's a good idea. I know people who start in Shavasana. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So when I first started teaching, that's how I did it. I would always start them where they weren't looking at me. Now it's fine. They can all look at me. I don't care. I got over it. But yeah, that's how I started.
That's awesome though. Yeah. You got through it.
Yeah. It's this little trick if you have some nerves.
All right, everybody. Well, I don't want to keep Nicole too long because otherwise we'd end up talking all day until her baby wakes up. So so you know where to find her. Look up Nicole Here Art everywhere.
H-E-E-R-E.
Yes. Go to the Kickstarter. The information's on Instagram. And let's see. You can follow me on Twitter at Elizabeth Amber. Everything else is Amber Unmasked. And go look for the cat stories every week too. So, Nicole, thank you so much for sharing this part of your life with us.
Thank you so much, Amber.